Let's open our Bibles, please, this morning in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 5. Fifth chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Let's read it from God's Word this morning. Because of time, we're going to commence at verse 32. Verse 32, John's Gospel, chapter 5. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in this light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Keep your Bibles open, let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we come to the precious time of gathering round Thy Word. We thank Thee for Thy precious, infallible truth. We thank Thee, O God, for the leading of Thy Spirit and the guiding of the Holy Ghost as we have studied Thy Word in the days that are past. But, O God, we long for the touch right from Thyself. We long for the enlightenment afresh of the Holy Spirit of truth as we gather round the book. O God, we pray that we might not hear man's interpretation, but it might be the interpretation of the Spirit of God that will lead us into all truth. Cover this gathering in the blood of Christ, we pray. And grant that our God, that those without Thee, that are still strangers to Thee, that are still walking with their back to Thee and their face to the world, O God, today we ask of Thee in mercy, save them ere it's too late. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life, and O God, that could be said over many a soul, even in Thy house today. O God, bring them. Blessed Spirit of God, draw them to Christ, that they might receive the greatest gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear and answer our prayer. Open up the book to our hearts, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Those who have been gathering with us on the Lord's Day morning know that we have been looking at the land of Israel and what is happening there, and we have been considering the end times. We've been looking recently in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, and as we have studied the book of Daniel, we have been considering the interpretation of the vision that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. He saw the great image, and he saw its brightness, and he saw it was excellent, and it stood before him, and the form was terrible. He saw the head of fine gold. He saw the breast and the arms of silver. He saw the belly and the thighs of brass. He saw the legs of iron, and the feet part of iron and part of clay. And then he saw something else. He saw the stone cut out of the mountain, and it smote the image upon the feet. And the stone became a great mountain and filled the earth, and the image was broken in pieces. I want us to go a little further this morning, and I want us to turn to a verse in John's Gospel, and it'll be our major text today. We read it a few moments ago. I wonder if you picked it out. In John's Gospel, chapter 5, in that 43rd verse, and yet it's amazing, you know, here is a little verse that most people pass over, and they do not realize the significance of what the Spirit of God is saying in it. In John chapter 5, and the verse 43, it says this, I am come in my Father's name, and ye received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And I want us to think of those words this morning of that 43rd chapter in the continuation of our study in the last days. We have talked about the little land of Israel. We have talked about how that there is an anxiousness and there is a concern across the world about the situation in the Middle East. And they're talking about the necessity and the vital necessity of peace in the Middle East. And when you look at the map, you see a little, small, insignificant piece of ground on the map. And yet you see the mighty significance it has among the nations of the world. In fact, indeed, that little, small piece of ground has a tremendous critical significance in respect to the stability and to the peace of the world. Because the potential to stir up trouble across the nations because of that one little piece of ground, even to the furthest part on the globe, is beyond question unchallengeable. The pot is stirring in the Middle East. I'm sure you heard that Saddam Hussein said that if America and Britain and the nations would attack him, the first place that he would attack would be Israel. It wasn't that Israel was attacking him. It wasn't that Israel was taking over his country. But you notice the potential and the significance of the little land of Israel in the conflict of the Middle East. And there will be a desire to find a negotiator that will somehow bring peace to this troubled area of the world and thereby bring peace to the rest of the world as well. Of course, the real giver and answer to the peace of Israel and of Jerusalem is Christ, because he is the Prince of Peace. And yet when he came to his own, the Bible says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And that's what brings me here to the 5th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Notice what Jesus said. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Do you notice there are two comings here? We're not talking about the first and second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are speaking about the Lord's coming. First of all, Jesus said, I am come. He said, I am come in my Father's name. But notice the reception he got. It says, and ye receive me not. But notice the second of the comings in this verse. It says, another shall come. Another. Another shall come in his own name. And what does it say? Him ye will receive. Him ye will receive. And friend, that's exactly what the stage has been set for. Another shall come. That's what they're looking for. Another to come. And when this other comes, not in the name of God the Father, but he comes in his own name. Him ye will receive. And the world will fall at his feet. For they will acknowledge him who comes in his own name. First of all, the coming of Christ. When he came the first time. The Lord Jesus says here in this verse, he said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye will receive me not. And so he did. Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before, prophesied of the coming of this one and said that his name was Emmanuel. He prophesied that the Son would be given and the child would be born and the government would be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, he would Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the prophecy of his coming was given in the book. He did not come in his own name. We read this passage of God's Word. He said, I am come in my Father's name. He came with the greatest authority, the Father's name. There is no higher authority in which he could come. Israel believed in the promise of a Messiah. In actual fact, not only did they believe in the promise of the Messiah, they longed for the promise of the Messiah. They prayed for the promise of the Messiah. Many times, in the midst of all their situations, they wept that Messiah would come. In the rituals which they had, and the ceremonies which they had, they acknowledged the very truth of the coming of the Messiah. As they went to their synagogues across the land, and as they sat there, they would teach. As the children would come and they would bind the word upon their hands and upon their foreheads, they would be taught of the coming of the Messiah. And friends, they anxiously awaited it. And yet, when he came, they didn't receive him. You see, one could understand some way if here was a people that were not looking for a Messiah to come. Or if they were not waiting for Messiah to come. You could understand that then when he would come, that they would reject him because they didn't really want him. They didn't understand that a Messiah would appear. But they waited for him. They wanted him. They prayed for him. And yet when he came, they did not receive him. And surely here's a picture, my friend. Even today, you know, the Lord Jesus stands at your heart's door and he knocks. And maybe there are those in this gathering today, and yes, there have been times when your heart has been stirred and you long for peace in your soul. You long for the answer. You long for the salvation that only Christ can bring. But when he came, you turned him away. When he visited your heart, when the Spirit of God spoke to the very depths of your being, and there was the speaking of the Spirit of God within your soul, he said, I have called, but ye refused. He said, I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. And here we find Jesus saying to this people, yes, he says, I am come. And I am come in my Father's name, but ye receive me not. And then he says this, if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And what I want you to notice here, and that's where I want us to dwell just for a few moments this morning, as time, I understand, is quickly going. But listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. The anointed Son of God. But there will be another. Another. Another Messiah. Another Christ. Someone posing as the Messiah, the answer to the world's need. But he is not the one who can say, I am come in the Father's name, meaning God's name, because he's not God's son. He's coming as the devil's Christ. He is the Antichrist. He doesn't come with the authority of the Father, because that was the Lord Jesus. But he comes with the authority of the devil. Now notice here what it says. Him. So it's a man. Him ye will receive. Surely, friend, the one who comes with the high authority of heaven, the one who is not only the Son of God, but is God the Son. Surely man would not refuse someone with such authority. And yet here is someone, and yet when Jesus comes with the authority of heaven, man refuses him. But when another comes in his own name, known as a man of sin. Notice it says, him you will receive. They'll adore him. They'll adore him. They'll accept him. And notice it says, another shall come. Now let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ reminded us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, that there would be many antichrists before that day would come. And in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, if you go back to it, in verse number 4, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Go to verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, and there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. And so the Lord Jesus Christ here, when he was upon this earth, he warned his disciples and he warned the people that there would be many Christs that would come and they would be false Christs. There would be a succession of persons appearing on the stage of time that would take upon them the characteristics of Antichrist. But that's not what has been talked about in the last of the last days. Because I believe before God, friend, whilst it's true a succession of persons come with the characteristics or some of the characteristics or several of the characteristics of Antichrist, in the conclusion of them all, there will be one. One. And he is the Antichrist. And there will another shall come. And it says, him ye shall receive. You know, there's a system that's talked about in the scriptures, and there's a spirit abroad in the world that is Antichrist. But there's a person. There's an individual. There's a man that shall come in place of Christ. Yes, the devil, you know, is a great imitator. God has holy angels, so the devil has his angels. God sets his mark upon his people, and so the devil, he has to mark his followers too. God rewards obedience with life. Of course, the devil, the imitator, he'll reward his followers too. He'll give them their wages, but of course he'll keep what their wages are. The wages of their sin is death. And then, of course, he'll be the great imitator to the end, because God's Son is Christ, Jesus the Lord. And so the devil will have his Christ, Antichrist. And let's just say concerning the word Antichrist, let me explain that just one simple moment to you. Some people have the idea, you see, the word anti means opposing Christ. And so therefore, here is a man that is opposing Christ. He is standing out against Christ. Yes, the devil opposes Christ. And in reality, the devil's Christ will be one who is in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not the significance of the word anti, because the word also means instead of. Instead of. And so therefore Antichrist means the one that comes is one who comes instead of Christ. Instead of Christ, in other words, in the place of Christ. He is taking the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Messiah, the word means anointed one. And one could look at the Messiahs in the Old Testament, you could see in actual fact, you could say that David was Messiah. He was the Messiah king, because he was the anointed king. You could look at the Old Testament, you can see Samuel. Samuel was the anointed of God, the anointed one. That's what Messiah means. And he was the anointed prophet. You could look at Aaron in the Old Testament, and you could see that Aaron was the anointed one. He was the Messiah, but he would be the Messiah priest. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the anointed of God. He is prophet, priest, and king. He is the one that fulfills the three offices of prophet, priest, and king. But notice another, instead of Christ. not only against Christ. Yes, that's the purpose of the devil in raising Antichrist and in energizing Antichrist. It is opposing the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking to destroy His kingdom. But the word means instead of. Instead of Christ. You know, it's interesting to notice what the devil's plan is. You know, some people tell us, you know, this world really is in the Lord's hand. The Lord Jesus said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The Lord also, God's word also says, the God of this world, friend, who is he? He's the devil. He is the prince of the power of the earth. And very quickly, let me show you something. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And I want you to look just for a moment in our concluding seconds for time's away. We'll come back to this. But in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, I want you to notice one of the temptations of the devil to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in Luke chapter 4, if you go verse 5, "And the devil taketh Jesus up into a high mountain, and he showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." And there we have what is known as the ecumenical earth. He showed them the kingdoms of the world. Now notice the temptation itself. "And the devil said unto Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them." So therefore there's the glory and there's the power of the kingdom. And that's what the devil was said. He was giving unto the Lord Jesus, "For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." Now you can understand it, or you could underscore that. You see, when another Christ comes, the devil will give the kingdom represented in the image which we saw in Daniel chapter 2. And he will give it unto the Antichrist, the kingdoms. And what does he give? What was the image? The image, the brightness of the image. In other words, the glory of it. We read about in Daniel chapter 2. And you'll also read, it was terrible. It was terrible. In other words, there was a power. There was a sinister power behind it. And the devil gives to the Antichrist. He gives him glory and the power of the kingdom. And that's what he offered to Jesus. That's what he offered to Jesus. But friend, let me tell you, the devil has nothing to give to Jesus. Because let me tell you, all says already. And let me just show you a wee simple verse that answers that. And that thrilled my soul when I was studying this. Because if you read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. And in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. And if you go down to verse 13, and it is in relevance to the temptation. Because notice in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, in the Lord's Prayer it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Listen, "For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." You see, the devil seeks to offer Christ another kind of power and glory and kingdom. But thank God, his is the power, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now, it's interesting to look, when you go back into Luke chapter 4 quickly, the devil says in verse 6, "All this power will I give thee." He offered it to Christ. And he said, "I will give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it." And when Antichrist comes, friend, And when the devil raises up that Antichrist to oppose instead of Jesus Christ, there's a man coming. And the devil will give him the power of the ecumenical earth and the glory of it in the last of the last days. Because it says, to whomsoever I will give it. And that's what he will do. And another shall come. And the devil shall energize him. Because you see, this other doesn't come in the Father's name. He comes in his own name. And he's energized by the power of the devil. And I'll just show you that in Revelation chapter 13 very quickly. In Revelation chapter 13, you'll find it there. Who is energizing Antichrist. Who is giving him the power and who is giving him the glory. Revelation chapter 13. Go to verse number 2. It says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. In other words, he gave him power, he gave him the kingdom, and he gave him a glory. And who's the dragon, just in case you don't understand that? Who's the dragon? Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, verse 9 gives us the answer. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But thank God when Jesus comes, let me tell you, the devil's got nothing to offer to Jesus. Why? Because he is King of Kings. And he's Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 11. Go to verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. And there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats, they fell upon their faces and they worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast given to thee, or hast taken to thee, thy great power. And has reigned. Yes, thank God. The devil has nothing to offer Christ. But when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come, he'll put down Satan's power. And of course, when does that happen? It says the seventh angel sounded. Now remember, what was he sounding? He was sounding the trumpet. How many trumpets were there? There were seven trumpets. And the seventh angel sounded, and he sounded the seventh trumpet. Friend, that was the last trumpet. The last trump shall sound. And when the last trump shall sound, thank God it says here, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, friend, and I know time's gone. The Lord Jesus shall set his feet upon the Mount of Olives again. And the Lord Jesus Christ shall reign upon this earth. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But listen, before that, another shall come. And ye will receive him. The world will go out after the beast. The world will go out after the Antichrist and seek him. And yet when Jesus came unto his own received him not. Let me ask you as I finish this morning, tell me, have you received him? We read in that same chapter in John's Gospel. He said, ye will not come to me
that ye might have life. He stood over the city of Jerusalem, that city that he will enter again, that city that he will walk into again and set up his kingdom. But one day he sat looking over that city, on that same Mount of Olives where he will set his feet one day. And the Savior wept. He said, "How often would I? But ye would not." I believe the Savior many a time has wept over souls in this place. Souls that he has visited, souls that he has spoken to, souls that he has come to with blessing. But you have turned him away. May God save you today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou will bless it to our hearts. We thank thee for the great truth that thrills our soul, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. We thank thee that there's coming a day when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of Christ. We thank thee that he shall reign, and we shall reign with him. We thank thee the King is coming. Grant that each one will be ready to meet him. In Jesus' name.